sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, October 15th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
You must be Igor.
No, I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
You were sent by Herr Falkstein, weren't you?
No, I think you have me confused with somebody else. So, holy cow, we haven't had an edition of the Erotic Mind series since early August, and that simply won't do. I don't know about you, but I really need to get into the head of another erotic artist, because finding out what makes these marvelous characters tick is sure pleasure. So, just when I thought I would have to wait and do without for a little longer, I miraculously discovered an amazing talent who is at the top of his game. And now, we are about to meet this genius together. But first, we must travel to the outskirts of Paris, France, where I know the one and only Logan Kowalski is expecting us.
You know, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm a rather brilliant surgeon. Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
I'm not even going to go there. So Logan is an artist, illustrator, craftsman, and comic book maker par excellence. He has a charming sense of humor and a deep French accent that will make you weak in the knees. And as a bonus, Logan has generously compiled a tantalizing slideshow of some of his outstanding work. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. For more of Logan and his oh-so-smutty work, be sure to visit him on his site, aptly named loganporncomics.org. You can buy his work at classiccomics.com, and you can find him on Facebook and follow him on Twitter, too. All these links are included in today's podcast posting.
Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay?
Maybe a bit later. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a brand new sponsor to our family, the Perfect Fit brand. Perfect Fit is a relative newcomer to the adult product marketplace. You know, my constant complaint about the sex toy industry's old guard is that they're stodgy and old-fashioned, and they often put profit way ahead of people. Not so with the Perfect Fit brand. There seems to be no end to their creativity and innovation, as well as their commitment to making healthy, fun, and sexy products that won't fuck up the environment. All their products are designed and developed in-house, and that ensures quality in both materials and functionality. But hey, don't take my word for it. Check out what the Dr. Dick review crew is saying about the Perfect Fit brand. Use the search function in the header of either one of my sites, drdicksexadvice.com or drdicksextoyreviews.com. Type in Perfect Fit brand and presto. And here's a tip. The Fat Boy Cock Extender is the most popular review we've done all year. Trust me, once you read the review, you'll want to pick one up for yourself. Look for the Perfect Fit brand banner in the sidebar of my sites and visit them today. Your sex life will never be the same. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Logan, and thank you for joining us. I'm so delighted to make this time to be together, especially since you are on the other side of the world from me. So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the nice people?
Well, hello to the nice people, and I guess a special hello to the naughty people, too.
Yes, absolutely. Good for you, because there are lots of naughty people that listen to my shows. So
I hope so.
So, Logan, I've been spending a great deal of time on your site, cleverly named loganporncomics.org. It's such a fun and sexy place to visit, and there is enough eye candy there to last a very long time. It is both playful and exceptionally erotic. It appears that you really love your work. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. And I'd like to start a discussion by referring to the bio you have posted on your site.
Yeah.
You write, "Those who know me can tell you, I'm a total sex maniac." And I'm proud of it, of course. And if you doubt it, just visit the galleries and we'll talk about it then. But I can be a real good boy, and I can stop talking about sex for approximately 15 minutes, which is the amount of time it takes me to give a great blowjob. Oh, I love you have a sense of humor. So, in other words, you don't like to talk with your mouth full, huh?
No, it's not. It's not very educated, you know.
So you go on to say, "I know this is supposed to be a biography, but what I do is way more interesting than who I am. Each and every gallery has a style, all its own, that I built over many years, and each style comes from several influences. You can't just draw without a background. Now, I'm going to ask more about you in a bit, but I like that you think your work is more important than you yourself. That's very humble of you. So what you're telling us is that your particular style is the product of many years of study, and your work reflects the influences of many who have gone before you, right?"
But it's true. I think I'm not that important in my job, you know. People don't have necessarily to know about me to appreciate my comic book.
Well, that's true enough. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people would say that about just any other art form. I mean, literature or, you know, fine art, whatever it is. I mean, you don't have to know anything about the author or the artist to appreciate his art. But the secret to the success of my show is that we actually get to know the artist, because that adds a whole dimension, it seems to me, to the art itself. Would you not agree?
Yes, of course, I agree.
Good,
yeah,
good,
yes,
good.
Yes.
Good.
But I think it can be useful for people if they want to know the process, you know, of
yes.
Of making a comic book or making a drawing or.
Yes.
The reason why I came to this thing. Yes, I think it may be important for some people.
Yes.
Of course.
And very interesting. At least it is for me. And so there you go. So what you're telling us is that your particular style is the product of many years of study, and your work reflects the influences of many who have gone before you, right?
Of course, yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And especially in the comic book artists.
Right. We're going to talk at length about that, hopefully, in a few minutes. Curiously enough, not all the artists that I have interviewed pay homage to the people that have gone before them, but you make it a point to do that. I think that's kind of remarkable.
I don't know if it's really remarkable. You know, when I started drawing, it never was an easy thing for me to draw, and perhaps because of that, I'm constantly aware of where I came from and where my style came from.
I see.
I think it's. When I start a page, it's not that easy for me. So I remember when each time I draw, the process so the results.
Right. In fact, you go on to say in your biography, "The most important thing is the technical aspect. Even the best of us drew for shit the very first time we took up a pen. Trust me on this. Virtuosity doesn't come easily. At first, an artist will draw 1,000 shit drawings to get one good drawing. The next most important thing is the artist's influences. The person who says he can build his technique from nothing but himself is a big liar." Again, you make the point that all artists follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before him. Why is this so important to you?
No, I really don't know why it is that important for me. I don't know what I can say.
Okay, that's fine. I really like that you emphasize that mastery only comes through very hard work. That's been your experience, right? Because you said just a little while ago that drawing doesn't come easy or naturally to you.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting. Yes. Why did you pursue this if it was not something that was easy or natural?
Perhaps because it's the only thing I can do right, you know.
Well, you can give really good blowjobs, I'll guess. So.
Oh, yes, but I don't even think of making a business from it.
I love it. I absolutely love your sense of humor. That's really grand. You go on to say in your biography, and if you take a look at my artwork chronologically, you will see that my first illustrations looked like a sort of cheap realism, full of details, but only to mask graphical mistakes. Yes. What I try to do now is to clean or purify my drawings from those useless details to reveal only what is important, cartoon-like. Yes. The coloring process is also something very helpful to me. Now, I think that's fascinating. You are very hard on yourself and your early work, but you also say that you were laying the groundwork for your artistic ability that you have today. Mm-hmm. So you can't be really too hard on yourself, your novice self, can you?
It's not being hard with me. It's when I talk techniques, you know, with other artists, other comic book artists, we all came to the same constellation, you know. We all draw too much lines at the beginning of our career, and the goal is to clean our style from all those unnecessary lines, you know.
I see.
And it's a process we all have in common.
Right.
And the next process, the last process, is to re-inject perhaps more lines, but with more efficiency, you know?
I understand.
I think, especially when you make comic books, the most important thing is to make the drawing really clear to read, not to interfere with the reading of a comic book.
You don't want a lot of distraction.
Yes, a lot of distractions can prevent the reader from reading correctly.
And following the story, because that's really important too. I mean, not just your illustrations, but the story itself.
Oh yes, especially in comic books, the story is the most important thing. You can have, you know, really good comic books because they have a great storytelling and perhaps not that great drawing.
Right.
But when you have a bad story and very good illustrations, it can't work, you know?
Ah, interesting. That's an interesting take, and I've never really thought about it in those terms, but thank you for that. So
yeah.
I really love the use of your colors. You have a riot of color. Do you choose your color to attempt to convey emotion and personality of your characters?
Oh, mainly when I make comic books, the colors came from a special mood for a scene, you know?
I see. Good, yes.
I choose one or two colors that's the base of a scene, and all the rest of the colors depends on the special mood of each scene, you know.
Right.
And when I make illustration, I can be more I don't know what to say, exuberant, you know,
right.
With the colors.
Yes, right.
right.
It's less a problem. But I try to make the colors to serve the storytelling again.
Right.
The storytelling is the most important thing.
Right. So if the character in your story is angry or the tension is building in the story, you would use a particular color, maybe hot color like reds or something like that, to convey that. And yes or no?
Yes, it can happen.
I see.
But sometimes it's the colors are not the best choice to convey some.
I see.
Like that, you know, the best choice perhaps is if you choose a wide angle, you know, or
right, I see. Good.
A really close up to the character, that can be more important than the colors.
No kidding. That's so fascinating. That is so fascinating. So finally, you say morphology is very important and useful to express graphically a character's temperament. I guess this is what you were talking about just a moment ago. Broad shoulders, heavy jaws, bulky, wrestler-like bodies. Sure thing is that they are built for action, not the kind of glamorous porn actors you would have seen in the 1980s. How wonderful. So you are being very expressive with your characters and your illustrations. They're bigger than life, I'm guessing that is part of your style, yes?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yes,
it's a
signature, I can say.
Right. So you're saying that you create your characters in a specific way to make a statement about masculinity, too, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I guess so. Yes.
Right. And it's funny. And it's funny that you mentioned broad shoulders, heavy jaws, bulky, wrestler-like bodies, but fail to mention the enormous fat uncut cocks.
Oh my God.
Are you trying to be coy?
No, not at all, no.
Uh-oh, gosh, I love it. So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you a little bit. Is it safe to assume that Logan Kowalski is your nom de plume or nom de smut, as the case may be?
Yes, it's a nom de plume, yes.
How did you come up with this very interesting name?
Oh, it's a particular story. You know, Logan is pretty simple to explain because I used to read a lot of X-Men issues, you know, when I was a kid. I started to draw because I discovered the X-Men, and in the X-Men there's a Wolverine whose name is Logan.
Oh,
so
right,
it was my all-time favorite superhero. I choose Logan for it, and Kowalski is a character I used to create with a buddy of mine a long time ago. Yeah, and a totally different character, and I mix the Logan with a Kowalski.
Oh, how very cool. It. I knew there was a story there. Thank you for sharing it. So can you tell us about yourself? Where were you born? Where do you currently live? Where did you get your artistic training? Do you have a partner or a pet? Whatever.
Okay. So in order, I was born in Nantes, which is in west of France, a large town, a big town. I was raised here. Now I live in Rouen. It's really near Paris. I live with my man.
Ah, excellent. He's a lucky man.
Oh, I don't know if he's so lucky. He seems happy. Yes, I guess. I have two cats, Caramel and Chocolate.
Ah.
And what can I say? I didn't went to any art school. I started
just
reading comic books, and I began to draw at the age of 12. And that was the really only thing I wanted to do. When I wake up, the first time I wanted to do is to draw. So I, it was really a thing that was pregnant, you know, very early. And well, here am I at 40, still drawing.
So no formal training.
No formal training, not at all.
Wow. Were your family, your parents in particular, supportive of your choice?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yes,
wonderful.
Yes.
They didn't say, oh, you know, stop doing that and, you know, go be a doctor or something.
Oh, no. It's absolutely not the, not the case. They always be supportive. I always have the freedom to make my choice. Even if it was difficult, you know, especially on the financial side, you know, it was not always easy, but they always be supportive, of course.
Wow. And you say you live in Rouen?
Yes.
That's the birthplace of Jeanne d'Arc, yes?
No, it's the place where she was burned.
Oh, the end point. I see. Oh, right. I don't know my history all that well. I just know that was, that's the end of the story. Exactly that.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Mm. Have you ever been to the United States?
No, never.
I haven't been to France either, so, well, one of these days, maybe. We'll
maybe, yes. I'd like to.
Me too. Very much. All right. So I've been having this running discussion with several of the other artists I've been interviewing for this series, and it concerns the distinction between artist and illustrator, and I would love for you to weigh in on this, if you will.
Yes.
Okay. Are you an artist or an illustrator, or are you both?
I'd like to call myself not necessarily an artist. My position, it's not to me. I can say to talking to me, I'm an artist. People can say I'm an artist if they want.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to consider myself as a craftsman. You know.
Oh, interesting.
It's more for different reasons, mainly because some people say you. I'm an artist, you know, with a big A. It seems to me a little aristocratic, you know.
I
consider myself a craftsman, maybe good, maybe bad, I don't know. But
an artisan.
Yes.
I see.
I make comic books, so it's something I do for the pleasure, for the people, but also in a commercial, way. It's something I have to sell, you know.
Right.
So the hard part is a little too much, you know.
Right.
I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
So you also have to do marketing. Is that not what
Absolutely.
You're saying? Okay, good. That's what I thought.
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
So that's the reason I call myself more a craftsman.
Right.
When people come to me and say I'm an artist, I'm happy, of course.
Yes.
But for me, I'm more a craftsman, really.
Right. Okay. Good. So you make a point that you've gone beyond just illustrating and that you've become this comic book artist. I'm going to use the word artist because I think, you know, you are. Is that because you like to tell stories with your illustrations?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So what comes first, the story idea or the illustration idea? Are you thinking in pictures or are you thinking in words, or is that a false dichotomy?
Oh, it really depends.
I see.
It depends. On the Porky series, it was first a situation with two characters, you know. I started to think about it, and then I started to draw a scene,
uh-huh.
and that was the beginning of Porky. Uh-huh. And sometimes it's an illustration, and you know, when I make an illustration, now it's really difficult not to imagine the background of the characters and the story behind it.
Right, right.
It's really I don't like making just illustrations now. I really like to tell stories.
Right, right. And I'm so glad that you do, because they're fascinating stories.
Thank you.
Little smutty stories, my favorite kind of stories, don't you know?
Yes.
All of your illustrations and comics are very sexy, and they represent the kind of idealized masculinity and femininity you see in comics these days. Do you work from models, or are all of these just the product of your own imagination?
Mainly is the product of my imagination.
Ah, gosh, you...
It's since 2 or 3 years I started to work with a software that's called Poser.
I see.
And I mainly use it for some panels where I place the camera in really awkward angles, you know.
Yes, right.
Just to have a special shot.
Yes.
of some picture, and yes. That's all. But mainly when I create characters, it's from my imagination.
Right. That's fascinating. So it's important that you get your characters right. It seems to me, because it would seem that, you know, getting the position wrong where, you know, a person's leg just doesn't work like that. You know, it's
yes.
Often in a way that, you know, if you draw that, that kind of ruins the whole story, doesn't it?
Yes.
It distracts the view.
Oh, yeah, of course, of
right.
course. And it's not an easy thing to achieve.
No, I'll
because
bet.
That's one reason why I sometimes regret not to have been in a art school, because I learned some things about anatomy much longer
later
yes. than students
yes.
that went to those schools. But finally I had my own style, you know, and my own style of anatomy.
Yes.
And and in comic books, sometimes you can exaggerate a position or
right.
or even the drawing of a
right.
of a hand, and it's not
penis.
This is your problem or a penis, of course.
As you can see, I take great delight in. Your artwork.
Yes, but it's a for me. It was natural. You know, it's
yeah.
like if I draw Hulk, I draw a big hulky Hulk,
yes.
a big muscular one,
yes.
and for me, Cox can. That it's I draw very huge characters. You know, with.
Right.
With a strong presence, and for me,
right.
the penis must be seen in this mass of muscles, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Holy cow. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, and since your characters, you know, are flying all over the page, and you know, the view of your characters... You know, can be from the top or from the side or wherever. Again, it's very challenging, this whole business of anatomy.
Yes.
Right. So it's really important that you get that right. That's fascinating and very challenging, I'm guessing, as opposed to just, you know, having a posed figure, you know, stationary on your page. Your characters are in action. All the time.
Yes, and again, the story that commands it, you know,
right.
you have to make very different shots
right.
because it's important in comic books, and especially in comic books, I think it's a very good way to learn to draw.
Right.
You have to draw things that you don't necessarily like, you know,
right.
when a car must pass. In front of a character, but you just have to draw the car, even if you don't like it, you know.
Yes, right. Because it's part of the story.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want the story to be real, you have to draw backgrounds, you have to draw cities, you have to draw all those kind of things. And it's a very, very good school for learning to draw.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I'm just looking at my clock, Logan, and I see that our time is up for today. But I have tons more questions to ask you. Will you be able to come back and chat with us next week?
Absolutely.
Oh, yay! We can talk about big penises then. Yay!
Oh, yes.
Alrighty. Before we go, would you give us your website address and tell us where we can buy your work?
Absolutely. So my website is loganporncomics.org, and you can buy the comic books in the Class Comics website, which I guess is classcomics.com.
That is. Very cool.
Yeah.
And you're also on Facebook, and you're a Twitter guy too, which was fascinating to know.
Yes. I use more Facebook than Twitter because I only tweet when I have something new to show on my blog.
Alrighty then. Well, I'll have all these links in today's podcast posting, and we will be visiting you and hopefully buying your work throughout the week until we speak again next week.
Okay.
Thank you, Logan.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this same time for part two of my conversation with Logan Kowalski and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Why are you talking that way?
It's the only way I know how to talk. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Perfect Fit brand. This innovative sex toy company is kicking ass all over the world. They are racking up award nominations at all the industry shows. And while that's all well and good, the real test is how their customers respond to their product line. Well, to make a long story short, they are blowing the competition out of the water.
What knockers!
The Perfect Fit brand slogan says it all. Amazing is our standard. Now, in addition to all their fun, sexy products for both guys and gals, this company has a social conscience. You know, besides sponsoring my sex-positive shows, they also contribute to their communities where their employees and customers live. Their contributions come in many forms: fundraising, product donations, as well as support to nonprofit groups. So I invite you to click on their banner in the sidebar of my sites and see what all the buzz is about. I assure you that your sex life will never be the same. And don't forget to look for the reviews of their products on DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Use the search function in the header, type in Perfect Fit Brand, and bang! Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.